I asked Mike Waldrop to come and speak to you on this particular topic that he's going to bring up. And by the way, if you're in a life group and all of a sudden you've noticed this month we've deviated from what the script is that you're studying, keep studying the script that you were given. You'll still grow. It'll be good. But there's things that we need to hear more regularly than we have been bringing them. So this topic here, I asked for Mike to come up and share about it. So if there's any tomatoes or anything to be tossed, they'd be tossed at him. Because this is a harder topic. You're all giddy about sharing this one, aren't you?
Absolutely.
He's absolutely giddy about it. But hear what he has to say, because this is a message for all of us, myself included. So, Mike, I pray right now, in the name of Jesus, that his spirit would be upon you as you share the words that he's given you for our congregation. Bless him and anoint him as he shares your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, everyone. Morning. So, as Mike mentioned, Pastor Mike mentioned, he asked me, I think a couple of months ago, if I would speak on this topic. And I've spoken a few times here, and I'll be honest, this one took a little more work and a lot more thought and a lot more prayer. And it's a great topic. It's something that means a lot to me. And so if you came this morning and you thought I was going to speak on Philippians 1, I apologize, because I'm not. I'm going to be obedient to what Pastor asked me to do, and I'm going to speak about giving. So as Pastor Mike said, keep studying, because I think he's going to bring Philippians 1 next week. This week, like I said, we're going to talk about giving. The other thing I'll mention real quick, I might run a little long, I'm not sure. I said that to my wife, and she said, if you do, it'll be a first, because you never are. You talk too fast, you're way too direct, and you never go as long as you're supposed to. So hopefully that'll work this time. But if I do run a little long, kickoff's not till 3:25, and I promise you it won't be that long. All right. So we'll dive in, if that's all right with you. So the first thing is I started to study this whole concept of giving. Right, and the title that I got for this message is The Heart of Giving, and hopefully that'll make sense by the time I get to the end of it. But really, what I as I dug into this, and I have a habit of maybe being a little OCD, and I jump into these rabbit holes, and I keep going, and I study things. And as I got into this, I felt like the thing that God kept telling me over and over and over again is, Mike, I love you. Right, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. I kept coming back to that over and over again. And even in the worship service today, that last song, right? God loves us. So if nothing else, if you don't take anything else from today, I pray that you will walk away from here understanding that God loves you. Amen. In fact, God loves you so much that he gave his son for you, right? Now, he gave his son for everybody. But he gave his son, he thought of you when he sent Christ to come and live on this earth, to die and be resurrected, and to be a sacrifice for you. And he did that so you could be called his son or his daughter. All right? Now, if you're a child of God, that's an awesome thing. It comes along with a bunch of stuff, right? You get a lot of cool things from being a child of God. You also have a few responsibilities to come along with it as well, right? And so being a child, just like, you know, if you're a child in your family, you know, it's cool that you're part of your family, but there's some stuff you got to do as well, right? There's two parts to that, okay? So God gave us his son so that we could be redeemed and reconciled to him, that we could be his son or daughter, and we would have all the rights and all the responsibilities that go along with that, all right? He loves us so much that he has a plan for us. He has a plan for your life every single day that you're here. He also has a plan for your eternity. And just like with any plan, it requires us to participate. All right? So we're going to get into that a little bit this morning. All right? And the verse that I want you to remember out of all of this, and there's going to be a lot of verses, but the one that I really want you to remember is from Jeremiah 29:11. And I say this to myself all the time, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. Right? So I just want you to carry that out today. Right? Remember that today. That God loves you so much, he gave a son for you. That you could be reconciled and redeemed to him. That you could be his son or his daughter. That you could participate in the plan that he has for you. A plan to give you a hope and a future. Right? Now, whether or not we decide to participate in God's plan is completely up to us. Right? We have free will. I could choose to take part or I could choose to not. And every day I get to make that decision. And I can tell you the days when I don't decide to participate in God's plan, those aren't good days for me. All right? But again, that's up to us. All right? And the real point of this then in giving is it's a big part of us participating in God's plan. So now, I could have just come up and told you, and I thought about this actually because it would have been easier. I could have just came and said, there's a God. He's the ultimate authority. You're not it. He says give, so give. I'm done, right? And I thought about that because it would have been simpler. But if you're like me, you can't leave anything as simple, so you got to dig into stuff, right? Or I frequently say, and I find this is very true, my two favorite or three favorite words maybe are yeah, but, and wow, that's interesting. So anytime somebody tells me something simple, I go, yeah, but what about this? And then I go, oh, that's interesting. Well, what about this? Well, that, yeah, right? So anyway, I get in a rabbit hole, all right? So we're going to dive into this. We're going to go through what the Bible and what God tells us about giving. We're going to walk through it from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We're going to talk about why it's relevant today, all right? So giving is really then, right, something that we think of maybe, especially as the leadership in the church, we always think that giving is a practical necessity. People have to donate to the church, right? It's just, that's how it is, okay? But it's way more than just a practical necessity. Giving is a spiritual discipline that we're all called to have. It's a spiritual discipline that we're called to follow. And it really should be a tangible response to God's balanced grace to us. And it should be the catalyst, right, which is the secret ingredient to transforming the church and transforming the world that we live in. Okay? So that's what we're going to go through today. We're going to talk about what the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, New Testament. We're going to talk about why it's relevant today. All right? So in the Old Testament, the foundation of giving in the Old Testament is really around obedience and honoring God. There's a little more to it than that, and I'll get into that, right? But from the very beginning of Scripture, there's a message of giving. It starts in Genesis, right? So Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 say, in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Right? So from the very beginning of the Bible, there's this idea of giving to the Lord. And not just giving to the Lord, but giving to the Lord of the first of what we have. Right? So the key, I believe, in that passage is that Cain gave some and Abel gave of the first. Right? And that's the difference in why God looked at the difference of the offering, right? And so from the very beginning, there's this idea that we are going to give of the first, the best of what we have to the Lord. All right? Then a little bit further on in Genesis, in chapter 14, in verses 18 through 20, there's a story of Abram, right? That's before he was Abraham. So that's before the covenant that was formed between God and Abram and changed his name to Abraham. So Abram went and fought three different kings because he wanted to rescue his, brother-in-law Lot from these three different kings. And because of God, Abram was able to defeat the kings. And after he fought, right, we read in Genesis 14, verses 18 through 20, it says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Right? So of the spoils of war that Abram had won, he gave Melchizedek, a priest of God, a tenth. That's the first time in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 14, where we hear of a tithe. And tithe is literally a tenth or 10%. Then later on, in Leviticus, in the Mosaic Law, this idea of the tithe becomes a formal commandment. So in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, it says, "Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wishes to redeem some of his tithe, he shall add a fifth to it. And every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the herdsman's staff shall be holy to the Lord." All right, so from the very beginning of the Bible, there's this concept of giving to the Lord. And not just giving, but giving the best of what we have, right? The first of what we have. And then how much are we supposed to give? 10%, right? It's a tithe, okay? Now, what's interesting to me, see, I say that a lot, right? Is if you were Jewish, there are multiple tithes. There's not just one. There's three specific tithes, and depending on what year you're in, right? So there's one you give all the time, no matter what. So the first 10% of everything you have, you give to the Lord. And then on some years, there's another 10% that you also give to the Lord. In a different year, there's another 10% that you also give to the Lord. And depending on the year you're in, the percentage is actually somewhere between 23 and 30% if you sat down and did all the math on the tithe. So, right? So, but again, there's this idea of obedience and honoring God that we're going to give back to him, really, and I'll get more into that later, a portion of what we have, no matter what. And it's not just like, oh, I have these things left over, I'll give those to God, right? It's the, I got this first, this is the best that I have, that's what I'm going to give to God, right? So this giving to the Lord, this tithe, and we say that a lot, right? When we say, today when we say tithe, what we really mean is give. So, but literally a tithe is 10%. But we use that kind of synonymously with donate or give to the church today, right? But the idea of donating or giving to God then in the Old Testament was to support the work of the Levites and the priests. So those are the guys that served in the tabernacle. They didn't work. They didn't farm. They didn't raise goats. They didn't raise sheep. They depended on the donations of the people in order to survive, right? In order to do the things that they had to do to serve God, they depended on the donations of the people, right? It also was important because it was used then to care for the marginalized people, right? So foreigners, orphans, widows, right? That we find that in Deuteronomy. I'm not going to read that verse, but, right? So the point of giving to the church is to support the people that serve in the church, the Levites, and it's to support the church in supporting the people in the community that can't take care of themselves, right? The widows and orphans. That comes up over and over again in the Bible, that we're to care for those people around us that need help, right? And then it was also a regular reminder that God deserves our first and our best, and that everything we have comes from him anyway. He's the provider of all that we have, right? And so all we're doing is giving back to him a portion of what he's given to us, and not just a portion, but the first and the best portion, right? So going on then, still in the Old Testament, right? I love this set of verses. I've always loved this set of verses. It's because I'm like this, right? If you tell me you can't do that, I'll try. Sometimes you ask my wife, if you tell me something's blue, I might argue it's red, right? I love a good test, right? And so we read then in Malachi, chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, right? The other thing about giving, even in the Old Testament, right? It says, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 says, "Will a mere mortal rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how are we robbing you? And tithes and offering. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Right? So there's several things in that passage in Malachi. One of them is, that's the only place in the Bible that God ever said, test me. And in fact, everywhere else in the Bible, it says, don't. Don't test God. Right? Except for this one thing. Right? It's the one place in the Bible that God says, try me. See what happens. See what I will do. Right? That's amazing. The other thing then is, right, and it's implied, and we'll get a little further into this, right, but it's implied in Malachi. So God doesn't say, what God is really saying in Malachi to the Israelites is to give generously, right? Don't be a stingy giver. Don't hold back. You're holding back. You're robbing from me. Stop robbing from me, right? So even though, you know, a lot of when you look in the Old Testament, there's a lot around obedience and honoring God in terms of giving, but there's also this idea, this undercurrent throughout all, that we're supposed to give willingly, not stingy, right? Not like, oh yeah, right, I can share something with you, right? It's not like that, right? We're supposed to give all to God, and that's what we see in Malachi, right? And God makes us a promise that if we do that, can you imagine? Well, I can, right? I got a story I'll share with you a little bit later about it. But, right, the God will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing on us such that there will not be any room to store it. Right? That's an awesome promise. And it's the one thing in the Bible that God says, try me. Try me and see what I'll do. Right? Everywhere else he says, don't do it. But in this one case. All right. Then the next part in the Old Testament, right? So the other part of giving in the Old Testament, it gets beyond the tithe. It gets beyond this idea of giving a percentage, and we move into the idea of a free will offering or sacrificial giving, right? So that's beyond what you would give as a tithe. And it's additional giving over and above that, all right? So, and I've always thought of it like this. So a free will offering or free will giving is I hear of a need and I give to the need, whatever that is. Whatever I feel like I'm being led to give, whatever I have to give, I'm going to give to that need, right? I'm giving up my own free will. It's not part of the tithe that I give to the church, right? It's an addition to that, okay? The other thing we hear a lot about, and if you get into this in the Bible, you'll read about sacrificial giving, all right? And the simplest way I've always thought about sacrificial giving is this, right? You're going to give something up to give. Or said a different way, you're going to give till it hurts, right? I'm going to give until it costs me something. I'm going to sacrifice something to give, right? That's sacrificial giving, right? So in the Old Testament, right, that's in the Old Testament, it talks about that, right? It describes free will offerings, which are gifts that are given above and beyond the tithe as a response to God's goodness. And so in Exodus 36, verses 3 through 5, right, the Israelites are rebuilding the tabernacle. This is after they left Egypt, right? And it says, they received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring free will offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, the people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done, right? So again, in the Old Testament, even we hear about this idea of free will offering. If you continue reading that passage, the other thing that's really cool is Moses actually went to the Israelites and said, hey, stop it. Stop giving, right? We got more than enough stuff. We're running out of room to put stuff. Like, we got it. Thank you. That's enough, right? Can you imagine? That would be... That would be amazing. It'd be awesome, right? It'd be cool. Be able to say to somebody, dude, don't bring any more. I love you. I appreciate you, but I got no place to put all this stuff. I maybe got a story I could tell you about something like that, too. All right? So that's all in the Old Testament. So we hear in the Old Testament, right, we're given this idea of giving as the law, we're commanded to give, right? How much are we commanded to give? We're commanded to give a tithe, right? So we always think that's, you know, translates to 10%. It does translate to 10%, right? But it's not just 10%, because like I said, there are multiple tithes. And then over and above that tithe, we're really encouraged, commanded to give a freewill offering and sacrificial giving. All right, so from there, we'll move into the New Testament now. Everybody with me so far? All right, hopefully this isn't too dry. Right, so we get into the New Testament, okay? And a lot of times, and I've thought this at times too. I'm like, oh, the New Testament changed everything. Right? Jesus came, no more law. Everything changed, right? It's all about love and all that, right? And it is. Don't get me wrong. It is all about love. But it was in the Old Testament too, right? But Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. And the Bible's clear about that. Jesus came to fulfill the law, right? But not to abolish it. Not a single iota. And in fact, that's what the Bible says. Not a single letter and a single word in the law was changed by Jesus Christ. Christ came to satisfy the law, not to change it, right? So we're still commanded to give. That's still a command. If we're going to be obedient to God and participate in the plan that he has for us, we still need to give, right? It just is what it is, right? You can decide you want to do that. You can decide you don't. But out of obedience, if you want to be obedient to God and you want to participate in the plan that he has for your life, if you want to be part of what God is doing, then we need to give, okay? Again, it's obedience, teaches me discipline, and literally, and it really does this, and I can tell you this as a personal testimony, it aligns my heart with the intent of God by giving, okay? So, but it goes beyond that in the New Testament. Okay, so we talked about in the Old Testament, the word tithe comes up a lot, right? When you get in the New Testament, you won't read the word tithe. It goes beyond tithing. It goes beyond this idea. And to me, literally everything between the Old and the New Testament is that. I always think of it like this. I'm a simple guy, or at least I like to think I am anyway. My wife might argue with that, right? But I always think it's like this. Right, God gave us a set of rules in the Old Testament and a way to be reconciled to him if we could just follow the rules. And then all through the Old Testament, nobody got that right, including me. And so I feel like God said, okay, so that's too hard. You guys aren't capable of just following the rules. So, all right, I'm going to give you my son. I'm going to sacrifice him to be a sacrifice for you, to redeem you to me. And all you have to do now is believe that. Just accept that Christ died for you, and you're reconciled to me, and now you can follow the plan, right? And so, literally, when we get into the New Testament then, it gives us the idea then of giving, not out of a feeling of obedience, or not out of a sense of requirement, right? Jesus came to satisfy or fulfill that. Really what we get into now is we're giving out of a sense of generosity and a sense of thankfulness and recognizing that there's a God and it's not me, right? Everything then about giving in the New Testament, the focus shifts. We're still required to give. We still are called to be obedient. If you want to be part of God's plan, you need to obey. You need to obey everything, right? But instead of being focused solely on right and wrong, right? The knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Now I can focus on love, and I can focus on generosity. I can focus on giving out of the abundance that God has given to me. I can focus on being focused on the fact that there is a God, and that God is not me. And he's given everything he has so I can have a part in his plan, right? So that's everything about giving in the New Testament, right? So I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm not going to read any of it. I'm just going to bring it up, right? So in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, there's the parable of the talents. It's a great parable. It's easy to get all twisted up and think that means something it doesn't, right? So when you get to that, the idea of the parable of the talents is that God is giving to us everything we need. And he expects us to take what he's given us and multiply it, and give it back to him to grow the kingdom of God. Right? That's exactly what that parable is all about. Okay? And it gets into what happens if you don't. All right? But a lot of times, I think people will read that parable and they focus too much or more on the what happens if you don't instead of on what you should, right? Because the should part of that's way more important. And I can tell you, and you know this probably, if you're an adult, you know this as well as I do. If you choose not to follow God's plan, that's the what happens when you don't. And it's not good, right? It's not good at all, right? So the parable of the talents is an encouragement to us to take what God has given to us, invest in it, grow it, and give it back to God to be part of his plan, all right? Then Luke chapter 12, verse 48, which I think is a great summary of the parable of the talents, says, but the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. And then more importantly to all of us, everyone to whom much was given, that's all of us, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Right? And that, again, to me, that's a great summary of the parable of the talents. Because that's it. God is saying, I'm pouring into you. Take what I'm pouring into you, grow it, and give it back. Right? That's what I expect from you. Not out of obedience, not out of a have to. Right? But I get to. So moving on then in the New Testament, all right, Jesus taught us that true giving comes from the heart. In the Sermon on the Mount, he warns against giving to be seen. I love the Sermon on the Mount. If you guys hang around me very much, I'll talk about it all a lot, probably too much. But we see in Matthew 6, verses 2 through 4, Jesus says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Right? What Jesus is saying is, if your motivation in giving is really to stand out in front of everybody and go, look how cool I am, I gave, right? That's your reward. Men will think you're cool, right? I'd much rather have God say to me one day, Mike, welcome home. Right? And that's really the intent of that, is what's in your heart when you give. That's the purpose of that, right? So further on then in the New Testament, in Mark 12, 41 through 44, there's the story of the widow and the offering that she gave. Okay? And again, this gets into the intent, the heart of giving, what Jesus is calling us to do beyond the obedience, right? And it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on. Right? So again, it gets into what's your intent, right? What's your motivation? What's your what are you recognizing by giving? Okay? And this idea that if you give a large sum and you stand in front of everybody and go, look how cool I am, and they go, yeah, you're really cool, that's your reward. You're done, right? I would much rather hear my God say to me, Mike, welcome home. So a little bit of a story I'll tell you. This is a personal story that's always stood out to me, and it fits in here. Shelly and I used to go to a church in Idaho. It was part of the Nazarene denomination. And the pastor there had gone to a large Nazarene church to visit in Boise, Idaho, which is a big rich town in Idaho. And while he was there talking to the senior pastor of that church, a man walked up and wrote a check as his tithe for over $200,000 and gave it to the senior pastor. And so the pastor of the church that Shelley and I went, wow, that's a lot of money. And the senior pastor said to him, yeah, he's really blessed. And the pastor of the church we went to said, well, I don't know if he's blessed or not, but obviously he makes a lot of money, right? So the story behind that really, to me, speaks to this, right? Whether you're blessed or not, it isn't the size of the check that you wrote, right? And it's certainly not the size of the check you wrote and gave to the pastor in front of the visiting pastor, right? Because, hey, you're cool. You got your reward now, right? It's not about that, right? It's about the heart that you have when you give. So, all right. So, moving on then in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul always talks about giving, right? And so if you get into this and you start studying this and you start looking into the Bible, there's all through the Bible, it talks about giving over and over and over again, right? There may be more about giving in the Bible than almost anything else, which tells you something, right? It's super important. And I'll get to a little bit later why I think it's so important and why God stresses that so much. So throughout Paul's writings and throughout Paul's teachings, Paul talks about giving, right? But he really talks about giving willingly, giving cheerfully, and giving sacrificially, right? And that's the real focus of, that Paul puts on this, right? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, it says, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion." So there's that not the law thing, right? "For God loves a cheerful giver." So Paul's saying, right, move beyond obedience. Give out of your heart. Give willingly, give cheerfully. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, it talks about giving proportionally. So if you ask me how much you're supposed to give, this would be my answer to your question. "If the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." Right? So the idea is that you give out of what God has given to you. All right? We could go back to Mark and look at the widow. That would be another example of how much are you supposed to give? Give proportionally. Right? Whatever your heart tells you to give. Out of what God has given you, give back to Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." So then giving is a response to what Christ has done for us. So again, give willingly, give proportionally. Give as a response to Christ. And then finally, Paul instructs us, calls us, to give as an act of worship and faith. Generosity is the fruit of God's Spirit in us, and it's an act of trust when we give back to God, that God will give to us and supply all our needs, right? And that's in Philippians 4:19. All right, so there you go. That's the Old Testament, New Testament. There's all kinds of verses on giving, right? You can give out of a sense of obedience. I would say that God has always wanted us not just to give because he said to, but, you know, if you need a rule to do something, there's your rule, right? But beyond that, we're called to give out of our love for God and our recognition of God's love for us, right? So, again, giving is more about there's a God and it's not me, right? And he's given so much to me that I want to give back to him all that I can. Okay, so why then are we called to give? That's a question I ask a lot. Yeah, but why? My kids got that from me. They say that all the time too. They're all grown up adults. Bo's the youngest. They still say, yeah, but why? So anyway, all right. So why do I have to give to God? Does God need my money? Does God need my time? Does God need my resources? That's the other thing I wanted to touch on, right? When we're called to give, we're not just called to give financially, although certainly we're called to give financially. All of us, whether we like it or not, we live in a material world, and it takes finances to do things. I talk to missionaries a lot, all the time. Missionaries hate asking for money, which I always think is interesting. But I always tell them, I don't know what to tell you. You live in a material world. If you want to buy a plane ticket, you need money. So if you're going to go to Thailand or Africa or wherever you're going to go to serve on missions, you have to have money to buy a plane ticket. So you have to ask people to support you. Whether they choose to or not, that's up to them, right? And it shouldn't offend you if they do, and it shouldn't, you shouldn't go, hey, you're cool if they, or it shouldn't offend you if they don't, and you shouldn't think, hey, you're cool if you do, right? So we are called to give money. We're called to give of our finances. And again, whether you like it or not, we live in a material world, and it takes money to do things. It's always been that way. You know, sometimes it's, I think it's getting worse, but it's always been like that. But beyond giving money, we're called to give up everything that God has given us, right? So I get asked a lot, you know, I do a lot of stuff with computers, and I won't get too far into that, but, right, people ask me to help with stuff, and they ask me questions about computers, and I'm happy to do that, because to me, that's part of giving the talent that God gave me back, right? I like doing that, right? I've done a few things around the church to help with different things. I'm happy to do that, right? Because it's part of me giving back the talent I have that God's given me to do something that God's trying to do somewhere else, right? So it's more than just money, right? You know, I give time. All of, you know, all, everyone here gives time to the church, everyone that serves, right? So we're called to give up everything that God has given us. All of the talents, right? So talent's a metaphor for money in the parable of the talents. But it's also talents, the skills and abilities and, you know, gifts that God's given you. He calls us to give back of all of that. Okay, so why then does God ask us to give? What does he talk about in the Old Testament, in the New Testament? Why does Paul talk about it as much as he does, right? Does God need us to give to him, right? So in the scripture, in Psalm 50:10, it says that God has the cattle on a thousand hills, right? I use that a lot. I say that all the time to people, right? God doesn't need my money. He doesn't, right? He gave it to me in the first place. So if he really needed it, he'd have just kept it and he wouldn't bother giving it to me, right? God doesn't need my money, right? God doesn't need my time. God doesn't need the whatever skill or ability he's given me. He doesn't need that either. God is self-sufficient, right? He's all-powerful, he's everywhere, he knows everything, right? There's not much, like zero, nothing. There's a God, right? I said that before, there's a God and it's not me, right? I'm not contributing to God in a way that makes God more complete, right? That's not what's happening. God doesn't need me to give, right? What God does require from me is my obedience, right? He doesn't need my money. He requires me to be obedient, and he desires me to take part in what he's doing. He desires me to participate in the plan that he has for my life. That's what God wants, right? What he requires is that I obey, but he doesn't need my money, right? He doesn't. So God, again, he asks us to give, not because he needs our resources. He doesn't need my time. He doesn't need my money. He doesn't need what meager skills I have to do things, right? He asked me to give because he knows that I need to be obedient. I need to participate in his plan. I need to experience the freedom and the trust and the joy that I get from knowing that I rely on God for everything that I have, and I have an opportunity to give back to him a portion of what he's given to me, right? God wants me to give to him because he wants to bless me. Giving is not for God. It's not. Giving is for us, right? It's for me. It's not for him, right? God is going to accomplish his plan whether I participate or not. And if any of you think you're big enough to thwart the plans of God, like go, I don't want to be real close to you because something bad's going to happen and I don't want to be in the fallout zone, right? I don't want to be collateral damage, right? I can't thwart God's plan. I can't. I don't have that ability. He's God, not me, right? I can't do that. I'm blessed that I have an opportunity to participate in God's plan, and I can come along, right? And I can do the things that he's calling me to do, and I can participate in the plan he has for my life and my community and my church and my world, right? But if I choose not to participate, he's still going to do his plan. It's still going to be carried out. I'm just going to miss out on the blessing of being able to be part of his plan, right? So that's the reason I believe there's so much in the Bible about God asking us to give, because he wants us to be obedient, because he knows that's best for us, right? He wants us to align our hearts with his. He wants us to be motivated by what motivates him. He wants us to participate in the plan that he has for us, right? Giving is not for God, it's for us. It's for me, it's for you, it's for all of us, right? So the Bible talks about this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, and I love this verse because I love where it starts. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. Remember, there's a God, you're not it. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Right? So how do I get to participate in the good works that God's prepared in advance for me to do? If I want to. Again, right? I have to choose to do this. I have free will. Right? So if I want to, how do I do that? Well, I have to understand first there's a God and it's not me. That God gave me Jesus Christ as a way of reconciling the gap between his and mine, right? And then I have to be obedient because I have to prepare to do the works that God's called me to do, right? I have to be obedient. I have to be disciplined. I have to be motivated by the things that motivate God, right? I need to be aligned to his purpose and his intent. How do I do that? By giving, right? The other part of it is, and I'll get more into that in a minute, right? But I already mentioned it. We live in a materialistic world. It just is what it is, right? So if we're going to do things, it takes money. So if I want to be prepared to do the things that God is calling us to do, especially as a church, I have to make sure that the storehouse is full, that we have the money to do the things, right? Because if we don't, these opportunities come, and those opportunities are going to be taken care of. God's plan will not be stopped. Right? So those things are going to happen anyway. We just won't get to participate in them. And we'll miss out on the blessing of being part of God's plan. So, and then the other part, and I already mentioned this before, God wants us to give of all that we have to him, because I truly believe God wants to bless us. He wants to make, right? So blessing. Me and Bo talk about this sometimes, right? So When the Bible says God wants to bless me, or I will be blessed, or blessed are those, it doesn't mean that I have a Corvette, because I don't, right? It doesn't mean I'm going to live in a castle, because I don't, right? What it does mean, though, is that God is going to satisfy me. God is going to teach me to be content, not teach me. He will make me content. He'll make me fulfilled in everything that I do, right? And I can tell you from personal experience, the most fulfilling times of my life outside of things with my family are when I was aligned with what God wanted done and I was doing what he called me to do, right? Those are blessings that are way better than Corvettes and castles, and right? So I believe that God wants to bless us. He wants us to be satisfied, fulfilled, and content, right? He wants us to stand in his throne room one day. And he wants to look at each and every one of us and say, welcome home, right? So remember in Malachi 3:10, it says, again, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not open, throw open, not just open, but throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there will not be enough room to store it, right? God wants to bless us. Giving is for us. It's not for God. All right, so now we talk about the Old Testament, we talk about the New Testament, right? And we're going to talk about why giving matters today, all right? And if you guys don't indulge me, I'm doing all right, I think, on time. A little bit, I'm going to tell you a story, okay? And this is a personal testimony of mine, all right? And I think it illustrates, or at least to me, it illustrates a lot of what the Bible tells us about giving and why it matters today. In 2001, we were going to send a team of teenagers, like, I don't know who thought that was a good idea, to Africa on a short-term missions trip. And I had never been on a short-term missions trip. And I got it in my head that I kind of thought I wanted to go. And so I was thinking about it, I was praying about it. And I was like, man, I don't know how it works. And like, how do you get to go or don't get to go? I don't know how that works either. And I went and talked to Tim Kelly, who was the guy leading it. And I'm like, hey, Tim, you know, I was kind of thinking about going maybe. Like, how's that work? You know, and he's like, well, it's 2 weeks. Trip's 2 weeks long, right? You need $1,800. You got to raise $1,800 so you can go. And you got to write a letter to me. So I had to write Tim a letter. Explain why I thought God wanted me to go on this trip. And I was like, dude, I don't know. Well, maybe I don't want to go. I don't know about all that, right? So at the time, I got 4 weeks of vacation every year. All right? That was it. Or maybe it was 3 weeks at the time. I don't remember. One of the two. $1,800 is a lot of money, right? I worked at a power plant as a maintenance technician, and $1,800 was a lot of money. And I'm thinking in my head, I'd love to go, but man, it ain't fair to my family. It wouldn't be good to my family at all, right? Because I'm going to burn half our vacation to go on this trip, and I'm going to take $1,800 out of my family, and I'm going to use that to pay to go on this trip. Now, Tim told me you have to raise the $1,800, but I'm proud and stubborn. And I was like, I'll just write a check. It'll hurt, but I'm not asking nobody for money, right? That ain't going to happen. I'm not going to, right? And so I'm noodling all this around in my head. And I hadn't talked to anybody else about going to Africa. I talked to my wife, and I talked to Tim. Nobody else. And I'm walking through church one day on a Sunday morning, right before the service. I was in that back hallway right there. There's a guy that goes to church here. I don't think he's here this morning. I'm not going to say his name anyway because I didn't talk to him before I decided to tell the story. But I wondered if he'd recognize it if he heard the story again. I'm walking down the hall, and this guy walks up to me. He's a guy that goes to church here. He's just a guy. Works hard. Right? He's a blue-collar, great guy. Known him as long as I've gone to church here. And he walks up and he goes, hey, Mike, I got something for you. And he hands me a check. And I look at it, and it's a check for $400. And I was like, what's this for? Because $400 is like a lot of money, right? And I'm like, what's this for? And he goes, well, I heard you're going to Africa, and this is all the overtime that I worked in the last 2 weeks, and I believe that God wants me to give this to you. And I was like, how did he hear I was going to Africa? Because there's only two people I told, my wife and Tim Kelly, and I don't think Tim talked to him, and my wife didn't talk to him, so like that's something. And then I was just like, I don't even know if I could take this. That's crazy. That's insane, right? And what God said to me in that moment, more than anything else, is like, see, Mike, I don't need your money. I just need you to obey. Just be obedient, right? And so what I learned that day, and I've carried this lesson the rest of my life to today, right? Mike LeClaire has heard me talk about this, Pastor Mike has, right? That God doesn't need my money. He doesn't. He just wants us to listen and obey him, right? And if we do that, he'll take care of all the rest, right? Now, part of that being obedient is when he tells us to give, give, right? How much are you supposed to give? I don't know. Give whatever God's telling you to give, right? Give out of your heart. If you need an amount, give at least 10%, tithe, right? Like I said, to this very day, things will come up. People are like, where are we going to get the money? I'm like, don't worry about the money. Worry about are you obeying God or not, right? If you obey God, the money will come, right? Whatever you need, whatever resources will come. Okay, so why does giving matter today, right? Today we have to give, right? This building costs money. I'm sorry. It is what it is, right? We have to pay the power bill. Again, I wish it wasn't true. I wish it wasn't true for me either, but it is true. We still have to pay the power bill, right? More than all of that, though, we need to give so that we have the resources so we can participate in the things that God is calling us to do, right? So if you look at some of the stuff we do as a church, and I have the good fortune to know about a lot of these things. I have even better fortune to occasionally get to participate in some of these things, which is awesome, right? And so do all of you. Right? But if you look at some of the things we do today, right? We're starting to support Vita. I love that place. I love everything it's about, right? It's really easy to stand up and say, we're against abortion, stop, stop abortion, right? It's really hard to stand up and say, I'm going to help all those women that didn't expect to be expecting, and I'm going to make sure that they have what they need to be successful in delivering that child. And that child is going to realize that God loves them because somebody cared about their mom enough to make sure that they could have a successful pregnancy, right? That's hard. That's a lot of work, right? It's real easy to say, stop abortion. I could carry a sign, right? I could do that. What Vita does is difficult, right? I love Harvest House. All those young ladies were here talking the other day. They're amazing. They truly are, right? If you don't know that God loves you, go hang out with them, right? They tell you those stories, and all that radiates out of them is love and joy and peace. And you hear what they've been through, I'm like, man, God really loves us, right? He brought you through that and gave you that kind of joy, right? We get to participate in that, right? David Bruning comes and talks here all the time, right? Dr. David runs the International Children's Fund. That guy's got more great stories about stuff. You want to know what God's doing in the world and how God provides for his people? Talk to David Bruning, right? We get a chance to be part of that, right? That's where part of our money goes, right? And our time and our talents. We get to do all kinds of cool stuff, right? And then we support missionaries. Can you imagine that? Right? Living Hope Church is a small church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So, right, or maybe, yeah, small, medium-sized church in a small town, really, in the grand scheme of things, here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And we support missionaries all over the world, literally, right? We used to support missionaries in Ukraine. They've come back now. You can imagine why, right? But we support the Witt family, the Kelly family, right? We support Pastor Paul Daniel over in India, right? We support... And I could go on and on and on and on, right? We support missionaries all around the world, right? So these are all opportunities that God has given us as a body of believers to be part of what he's doing in our community, right? In our lives, right here in our church, right? So we have all kinds of great ministries here at church, right? And those are opportunities we have to participate in what God's doing in the lives of the people in our body. We get to participate in the lives and the things that God's doing in our community and all around the world, right? There are Muslims being saved in northeastern Kenya because there's this wild guy with a long red beard running around up there telling people Jesus loves them and showing them that every single day, and we're all a part of that. Part of the reason that wild guy that I love like a brother is where he's at, is because we help him to be there because we're faithful in doing what God's called us to do. Okay? All right. So, yeah. So like I said, we have all these things that we do, right? We've done homeless. We have a food pantry. We support Camp Daniel. We support so many things, right? And those are all those opportunities that God has given us to be part of his plan. So why are we called to give, right? We're called to give to be obedient. We're called to give because it teaches us discipline, right? We're called to give because God has given everything to us and we need to acknowledge who he is and give back to him, right? We're called to give because it's a testimony of our faith. And by giving to God, it not only shapes our hearts, right? It transforms us. But it also will transform the world, all right? So with that, if the praise and worship folks would come back up, all right, they're going to do a last song honestly, I asked them to sing, right? But when they sing this song, right, I want you to think about, if nothing else, I want you to remember what I started with. God loves you. He does. I don't know how much more I could try to impress that on you. He loves you so much that he gave his son for you so you could be reconciled to him, so that gap that separates you from him will go away. And if you don't remember anything else from today, I would pray that you would remember that, right? And so when they're playing this song, right, I would say if you don't know Jesus but you'd like to, come to the altar. Right? If you know Jesus, but your relationship is not what you wish it would be or not what it once was, come to the altar. Right? If you want to be closer to God's plan and you want to press into that, then I would say come to the altar, right? And then at the end of the song, we're going to pray together, and then we'll be dismissed.